Family Matters. So you should have your Bibles open at page 978, Matthew 12. Depends how you say that, doesn't it? Family matters. Sometimes when you talk to people and you say, you know, well, what's the matter with you? And they say, family matters. In other words, stay out of it. Keep away. I don't want you to know. I don't want to talk about it. It's private. It's within the family. But then you can say, family matters. You see, family really does matter. Families are important. Families are important to God. Wrong one? I pressed the top one. Ah! Ooh. Right, good. Family matters. Good. We're all set in families. It's impossible for any of us, one of us, to be here without us having at some time or other in our life a mother or a father. Family matters to God because he gives us these great stories of families in the Old Testament, families like Abraham, families like Moses, families like Jacob, families like David. I didn't get those in the right order, but it doesn't matter. They were great families, great dynasties. And today we talk about important families. We talk about the royal family. What about the mafia family? Families are very important. Amongst the gypsy community, the families are very, very important. And yet, the days that we are living in today, the family unit has never been under greater attack. I think you would agree with that, yes? I think the family is under great attack. We are seeing families now being reconstructed. I think they call it social engineering, where you don't have to have a female mother and a male dad. You can have two of each, or you can have a male mum and a female dad. And so they're messing about with families and messing about with this basic family unit that we need. And at first reading in this passage that we've been looking at this evening, it would seem that the family of Jesus was not important. Let's turn to Mark chapter 3. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, it's perhaps a little bit more expanded there. Mark and chapter 3. And verses 20 to 35. This is the same story, but it's slightly more expanded. Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. Note that, they went to take charge of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. And he said this because they were saying, he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrive. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. They thought that Jesus was out of his mind. Verse 21 there in that passage that we read. The family wanted to bring him home to take charge of him. They were no doubt of the opinion that this has gone far enough. Jesus' ministry is getting him into the public eye, and he's going to get into trouble. And they cared about Jesus, and they wanted to bring him home to stop him doing what he was doing, which was stirring the people up. People were being divided by the message that Jesus was bringing. Some were for him, many were against him. Can you imagine the situation as Jesus is sitting there in this house and he is teaching the people? They're all sitting there, and no doubt they're like we are often on a Sunday morning. They're all sitting on the edge of their seats, listening intently, especially when Tim's preaching. And we're all listening very carefully to what is being preaching, whoever is preaching, of course. And they were listening to Jesus. And then suddenly there's a knock on the door. Somebody goes to the door. Yes, can I help you? And they said, we're Jesus' family. We've come to collect Jesus. It's time we took him home. Now, here is a man, 30 years of age or so, and he is teaching the people, and his family have come to take him home. How embarrassing can that be? And the messenger comes in with this message. Jesus, excuse me, but your mum and your brothers are here. They want to take you home. And there's a silence. And then Jesus speaks and says, who is my mother and brothers? And then he points and says, these people sitting here, these are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. And the messenger scratches his head. What am I going to do? And he goes back. And the family are there. Well, where's Jesus? Well, he's not coming. What do you mean he's not coming? What did he say? He said his family's in there. These people in here are his family. You can imagine. They said, he said, what? They would have been astounded at what Jesus said, just as we are astounded when we first read this. These people here are my mother and my father. It would have hurt them. It would have maybe caused them to wonder who Jesus really was. Was Jesus really disowning his family, as we read there in verse 48 of the passage that we read in Matthew's? Who is my mother and who are my brothers, he asked. I want us tonight to look at who is the biological family of Jesus. Family matters. Can I see it any better up there? Yes, the family outside. Jesus... biological family. Matthew 13, verse 53. If you just turn in your Bibles, if you've got Matthew open, turn in your Bibles over a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 53 to 56. On my church Bible, this is page 980. Verses 53 to 56. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. You can see here as we look at this passage that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Some sections of the so-called Christian church think that Mary remained a virgin for the rest of her life after having Jesus. Well, it's very clear from this passage that Mary didn't remain a virgin. She had at least four sons and several sisters. Joseph is not mentioned in this passage, and it's probable, most commentators think... Is that clear? Yes, I think so. Most commentators think that Joseph, the father, has probably passed away by now because he's never mentioned any further in this passage. And so it would seem that there was some animosity towards Jesus. And when we read John chapter 7, you needn't turn to it, but if you're taking notes, John chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, we read there the brothers, about the brothers that was Jesus. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." Verse 5 says, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." You see, he had these at least four brothers, and they didn't believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. That their father, Joseph, was not his earthly father. That Mary was his mother, but his father was the heavenly father, the Holy Spirit. And that he was answerable to him. And the brothers didn't understand. They didn't believe. And yet they were religious people. You read on in John chapter 7 that the brothers kept the Feast of the Tabernacles. They kept all the Jewish feasts. But they didn't believe the Old Testament about the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And let's face it, it must have been difficult to have lived in such close proximity to Jesus and see all that he did and to believe that he indeed is the promised Messiah. At this stage in their life, they didn't believe that he was the promised Messiah. It says there in verse 5 of John chapter 7, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." Does Jesus love his family? Well, of course he does. Of course he loves them. When we move on in the story of Jesus, and we've just been remembering it as we've celebrated Easter, and we move on into John chapter 19. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but if you're taking notes, John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, we read these words. And imagine the scene. Jesus has been beaten. He's been hung upon a cross. The crowd are around there. I gave Michael Straker a beautiful picture of the people standing there looking at the crucified Jesus. Many of them with anger in their hearts. Many of them with guilt in their hearts. Many with wonder. And there's the picture of the Roman centurion who later said, "Surely he was the Son of God." But as Jesus was hanging upon the cross, we read in John 19, verse 25, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved," that's John, the writer of this gospel, "standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." So as Jesus was hanging upon the cross and dying for your sins and my sins, for the sins of the world, as he hung upon the cross, he looked with compassion upon his mother. He loved her. And he knew that she loved him. And he was concerned for what was going to happen to her after he was dead. And so he looked at John, the apostle, and said, "John, I want you to look after Mary, my mother, as if she were your own." And from that moment on, John took Mary into his own home. We went into Ephesus a year or so ago, and we were shown around, and they claimed there that Mary lived there while John did his ministry in Ephesus, and they've got homes and what have you, and they've made a big thing of the home of Mary. But it would seem that John took that instruction from Jesus very, very seriously. But I want to ask you this question. There was Jesus hanging on the cross, and there was Mary and many others gathered around watching the crucifixion of Jesus. But where were the brothers? Where were these brothers who had said that they didn't believe who Jesus was? Why weren't they there with Jesus to help look after their mother? Why weren't they there to try and associate with Jesus and help him through this difficult time? Where were they? Were they back up in Nazareth and looking after the family business? Why weren't they looking after their mother? And at the time when Jesus was teaching in this house, as we're looking at in Matthew 12, why weren't the brothers there? Why were they outside? Right, I think we've caught up. But then we go on in the story of this family. The brothers weren't at the crucifixion, but it would seem that they were at the ascension. In Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, we read these words. And I've so often read these words and never appreciated quite the full impact of this until I came to look at this particular passage in Matthew 12 and then associate it with this. So Jesus has just ascended and the apostles or the disciples have seen this happen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount Olives, a Sabbath day's walk that would be about a kilometer from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they had been staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They'd arrived. They'd come down from Nazareth or wherever they were, and they were now in the upper room with Mary and the other brothers. I wonder, was this the moment that these brothers truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God? We know that James later became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And he wrote what is probably the first book in the New Testament. He wrote the book of James from AD 44 to AD 49. And he was quite an influence in the church in Jerusalem. Judas, his name was shortened to Jude, and you can understand that. We often shorten names. Judas wrote the book of Jude, and he wrote that book from AD 68 to AD 17. It's believed that he was a missionary. We know nothing of the other brothers, and we know nothing of the sisters of Jesus. I ask the question, did Jesus care for his family? Yes, he did. But he wasn't controlled by them. They wanted to stop him doing his ministry. They wanted to stop him teaching. They wanted to stop him getting into further difficulties and troubles with the authorities. And Jesus loved them, but he didn't allow them to stop him doing his ministry. He recognized his responsibility to his mother, but he would not be prevented from doing his ministry by her. So that's the family outside. I think you might have to do it for me. We've gone too far. The family outside, the family inside. That'll do, yes. So we now come to the second part of this passage in Matthew chapter 12 and the family inside. Jesus said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." I rejoice in this verse because it starts off by saying, whoever. That means anybody. Anybody. you, me, people that have learning difficulties, people that are clever scientists, people that are politicians, people that are bankers, people that are living homeless on the street, whoever can be a member of the family of God. It is open to all. It is all-inclusive. And as we look at that, we can say, even the brothers of Jesus were to be included. Whoever does the will of my Father. And then secondly, it says, whoever does. Now, we must be careful here because we don't want to be preaching salvation by works. Jesus isn't saying here that whoever is obedient and does the will of God, they will then be saved. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that people who are already doing the will of the Father, they're in the family. And it's not a case of earning our salvation. It's a case of receiving the gift of salvation. And because we've received the gift of salvation, we want to go and do the will of the Father. We want to serve him. It's like Jesus, when he was teaching, said, it's by their fruit we will know them. So this is not salvation by good works. This is salvation by the grace of God. And we are identified as being members of the family of God because we love to do the will of the Father. We are found to be doing it. We are family members if we are already engaged in the work of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Well, we could spend all evening looking at various scriptures and talking about what is the will of the Father. We know, for instance, from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 14, that the will of the Father is none should perish. He doesn't want any one of us to die. He doesn't want any one of us to go to hell. We all have free access into the presence of the family of God. We know from Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are doing the will of the Father if we believe in his one and only Son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only one and only Son into the world, that whoever believes in him will be saved. We remember after the baptism of Jesus in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7, that God spoke from heaven. Sorry, this is in the Transfiguration. That when God spoke from heaven and he spoke to those disciples up there on the mountain, he said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Members of the family of God, listen to Jesus. That's why we love to gather together on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening in our small groups, in our prayer meetings. We love to gather together to listen to the Word of God, to be nourished by the Word of God, to grow, to support. So we know that those who are members of the family of God are those who do the will of the Father. I want you to look around you this evening. It's a bit embarrassing sometimes to look around, but from this point of view, if I had the right glasses on, I could see all your faces, and I could see that you are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. From up here, you can see a vast family of people, and this is only a small corner of it. Jackie and I have had the privilege of going to America and working on that missionary retirement home. And we've just heard of a dear sister who we'd helped many, many times out there, who's just gone to be with the Lord. Marjorie, who was only about this height. Her and her husband, they loved the Lord so much. And that's part of our family. We're sad that she's gone, but we're pleased that her life has come to an end and she's now in the family of God in heaven. And you know, the good news about this is that you might be single. You might be the only one in your earthly family that comes to church, and you might feel a little bit isolated. You may not have children. You may not have brothers and sisters. You may not have mothers and fathers, and you're all alone in this world. Well, I have news for you. You're not. You have a family, a family of Hookites, a family of Christian people who love the same Lord Jesus, who are obedient to God, who do the will of the Father, and therefore are in the family of God. Jesus wants us to love one another. Jesus wants us to listen to the word of God. Can we move on one more? There we go. Yes. I want to finish with these two texts, because Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And then Peter says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Question has to be asked tonight. Are we doing the will of God? Are we part of the family of God? Do we love one another as we should? Jesus is not saying that that our earthly families are unimportant. They're very important. I have quite a vast family. Would you believe I have 11 grandchildren and one adopted, or one grandchild by marriage? I have 3 daughters. I have another 2 children from Jackie's side of the family. So we have a vast family, and we're going to celebrate a very important birthday for me later on in the year. And we're going to gather all the family together just so that we can be together. I'm going to take all my grandchildren and children off to France later on in the year. Families are very important. Our personal family is very important. But brothers and sisters tonight, it's not all important. Being part of the family of God is all important. Are you a member of the family of God? Do you see the people here in this fellowship as being your brothers and sisters? Do I see everybody here, people I get on well with, people that I find just a little bit more difficult to get on with? Do I find them to be really my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I see them as the family of God? Well, Paul says that we should do all that we can to help the family of believers. And we should respect one another, Peter says. We should respect the family of believers. And yet there's often conflict in families. There's often sadness of falling out. And it does happen. But we need to reconcile. We need to be reconciled in Christ. I want to conclude by saying that there are probably 3 types of people here this evening. There may be more. But just to highlight 3 types of people that may be here this evening. Those who are not part of the family of God. You may look right. You may dress right. You may say the right things. But deep inside your heart, you know that you're really not at one with the family of God. You're not really living a life that is honoring God. You're not really living a life that is wanting to do God's will. That is the threshold. Are we living to please God? If we are, then we are in the family of God. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for us, if we want to listen to what he wants to teach us, just as those people gathered in that house, gathered in that circle, as Mark said, listening intently to every word that Jesus said, if we are of those sort of people, we are in the family of God. But it may be that you know deep in your heart that you're not part of the family of God. You've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Saviour. Second type of people are those who are part of the family of God, but you have unresolved issues with other members of the family. And there's an abrasion. There's difficulties. And you need to sort those things out. Families work best together when we all are pulling in the same direction. It's sad when you hear of families who are dysfunctional, not working. As many of you know, I work in prison, and I go in prison twice a week. I wasn't going to say this because my wife says I talk too much about prison, but it's so sad to see so many people who come from dysfunctional families where the father has not been seen for many years, where brothers and sisters have fallen out, and they have a biological connection with the family, but they don't have any physical contact with that family at all. Well, within the family of God, it is possible for us to fall out with one another. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you tonight that we need to reconcile. We need to get together in order that as a fellowship, we can serve God better and better work together. Third type of people are those who are truly in the family of God, rejoicing in all that he has done for us. But I want to say to us, be on our guard. Each of us must be on our guard. We mustn't let the devil spoil what we have through foolish talk or through thoughtless action. Keep close to the Father. Keep close to God's word. Keep close to God's people. Make it a priority to meet together with God's people to worship him and to praise him. And watch out for one another. That's what families do. They watch out for one another and encourage one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. May we be a really united family, because family matters. It matters to God. And it matters to you and me. May it be so, for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen.